Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, March the 27th. And welcome to our commentary. Just a heads up, as we do on Mondays, we'll be chatting with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. We'll be doing that later today. We'll have that up on the blog later this evening. And if you didn't catch it, on Sunday night, we spoke with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas, and we spoke a little bit about the situation in South Texas, as well as the Trump rally in Waco. You know, a lot of people are reacting to that rally in different ways. As I mentioned the last time that we did a video, that I thought the rally, I mean, I thought the speech was great, but I didn't like the attacks on Governor DeSantis. I just don't think that's a good idea to have the two heavyweights basically calling each other names. Now, to his credit, Governor DeSantis has avoided this. He has not been attacking President Trump. In fact, I think that by design, you know, I heard over the weekend that Karl Rove, and this is just a rumor, I have no confirmation of this, but I heard a rumor that Karl Rove is working with Governor DeSantis as well as Jeb Bush. Again, I have no confirmation of this. Just it was on one of the programs, and you know, the people who were saying these things were generally well respected political pundits. But the strategy, it appears to me, from Governor DeSantis is you don't fight back. You just let Trump say whatever he's going to say, but you don't answer back. That's a smart strategy, actually, from Governor DeSantis, for a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't want to get into this game with President Trump, because frankly, he's better at it, as we saw in 2016. When we get into this one-on-one, Trump is very good at that. So there's no reason to get into that game with him. And the second one is that the longer that DeSantis stays out of this, in other words, the longer that he stays out of the debate, the better it is for him. Look, we've got a year before the next primary. So, you know, why would DeSantis want to get into it now? It's a year before the primaries. And I think the smart thing to do for DeSantis is just to keep quiet, let Trump say whatever he wants to say. And then if he's going to run, you announce it sometime in September, October, and then you go on the offensive. But right now, I think he's doing the smart thing. You know, he's doing the smart thing by staying away. So anyway, we spoke about this with George Rodriguez on Sunday night. We also talked a little bit about Mexico. Mexico has been in the news here recently, especially the president of Mexico, who has not been happy with the State Department. The State Department has issued several travel warnings to Mexico, and obviously he's not happy about that because that impacts his tourism industry. But there's also a great deal of dissatisfaction, frankly, with the way the president of Mexico is handling the situation with respect to the violence in Mexico. So it's very tense right now between the United States and Mexico at the very high levels, to say the least. So we spoke a little bit about that. Now, we begin today, of course, Monday, with this horrible news out of Tennessee that there was another school shooting. Apparently, three little kids are dead. These are really small kids, by the way. This is not a high school. These are really small kids, you know, grade school kids type ages. I mean, absolutely horrible. It's always bad, but when you're thinking of little ones, it's even worse. And apparently three adults were also killed. So that's all very preliminary at the moment. I'm sure there will be a lot more updates over the next 24 hours. But again, you know, these shootings are happening. We had a couple last week here in the Dallas area at a couple of high schools. The first one, some kid brought a gun to the parking lot and shot another kid. High school kids we're talking about, 17 years old. And then in another high school, a car went by, and I think the two people in the car were students. One of them was, for sure. And they shot somebody in the parking lot, but they didn't kill him. They injured him. So, I mean, this is a disease. We had something in Denver also last week, where a student apparently shot some of the staff members. This is a horrible problem in the country. And of course, you know what's going to happen. The first thing they want to do is they want to write a new gun law. Look, this is not a question of gun laws. I have no idea what motivated the woman, and it's a woman in Tennessee. The shooter is a woman. I have no idea what motivates anybody to walk into a school made up of little children and shoot people. I mean, it's so weird. I have no way of understanding that. But she did. She walked in, and then, you know, you have all kinds of questions. This is not a time for second guessing, obviously, or criticizing. But a couple of things do come to my mind, and that is, you know, were the doors open? Were there ways for people to come into the school? If once the shooter goes in, once the shooter is inside the school or the office or wherever he or she is, once they're in, you know, you're lucky to save anybody's life, because at that point, he or she is shooting at will. So I think the argument here, well, we're going to have to do more of this, talk about this on a national scale, is we have to protect these schools, meaning you got to make sure the doors are locked. That is obviously easy to do. You lock the doors. But also, you have to have people in the front of the school, in the surroundings of the school. You got to have a couple of people with weapons who can take out the shooter and who can at least confront the shooter outside of the school. In Uvalde, Texas, we had the same thing happen with a young man got into the school. And apparently here in Tennessee, this lady, who the shooter, who's a woman, got into the school. If you can keep them outside of the school, you can probably eliminate all the killings and all the deaths. But once they're in the school, it's over. You're going to lose people. So I think that's the conversation we're going to have. It's not a question of writing a new law. It's a question of protecting these schools better. And if you have to have guards, I don't think the parents are going to object to that, even if they have to pay a little bit more. And you're just going to have to, you know, take some strict measures, just like with an airplane. I mean, if you take an airplane, you got to go through all kinds of things just to make sure that, you know, somebody doesn't get in the plane with a bomb or a gun or whatever. I mean, we pay the price, I think, sometimes for the extra security. But here, of course, you're talking about little children being killed. And I tell you, it's just a heartbreaker kind of thing. And you just wonder, you know, what is going on in the mind of a person who walks into a school and shoots children. I mean, it's beyond recognition as far as I'm concerned. Well, I've got a post coming out Tuesday morning regarding Senator Fetterman of Pennsylvania. As you know, Senator Fetterman was elected in Pennsylvania. He was the reason that the Democrats have a 51-49 majority in the House. So his election was extremely important to the Democrats. But John Fetterman had a stroke about a year ago, I guess, right after the primary. He had a stroke. He didn't campaign. They kept him, you know, naturally. I don't even know why they let him campaign. I don't even know why they let him run. He should have stayed out of politics for a couple of years and recover. But he won. He won the election. It was a close election, but he won. And if anybody had seen that debate that he had with the Republican candidate at the end of the campaign, I mean, it was pathetic. The man could barely talk, could barely read what he was saying. He could barely comprehend what he was saying. But he won. He won. People voted for him. And now he's a senator from Pennsylvania, and he's now been in the hospital twice. He's still in the hospital. And I think a lot of people are saying, where is Senator Fetterman? Can he do his job? Now, the position from his office is, the official position from his office is that he's recovering and that he's going to be just fine. Well, I hope so. I hope so, because, I mean, you want the man to recover. This is not about politics. You want the man to recover. But my goodness, how long and under what conditions? And are the people of Pennsylvania being served correctly by having a senator who has not been able to serve? I don't think he's been able to engage in any committees or anything like that. So at the moment, he's sort of like on the disabled list, meaning that he really cannot participate, because I think in the Senate, you have to be present to vote. You cannot do by proxy. So, I mean, right now he is the 51st vote, but he's not there, which means he really doesn't count. So we wish the man well. You know, I know he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican and there's politics. I understand that. But we wish him well. We want to do what is best for him. And I think a lot of people are asking the question, is the best thing for Senator John Fetterman to stay in the Senate, or is it better to resign and recover, take care of himself, and then come back later in a stronger health condition? That's, you know, what a lot of people are asking, you know, and I think it's a fair question. It's a fair question. He has not been able to function as a senator since he went in. And we're now in, what, the fourth month that he's been basically in and out of hospitals. So, you know, again, emphasize, we wish him well, but we also think that he has a duty. And so far, unfortunately, he has not been able to serve as a senator from Pennsylvania. He's not serving well, very well. I think, you know, he's there, but he's not doing his job, I suppose, the way that you're supposed to do. You know, we remember today, 1984, at the end of March in 1984, the Baltimore Colts moved to Indianapolis. And it was a very controversial move because the Colts, of course, have been one of the great franchises in NFL history. I think they were one of the original franchises, actually, of the NFL. And there had been some talk that they were planning to move, but nobody really officially expected them to move. And then one day at midnight or early morning, these trucks show up, they pack up everything, and next thing you find out, the Baltimore Colts are now the Indianapolis Colts. And nobody expected that. And of course, people were angry, not just because of the way it happened, but because they took the name Colts. I think that's probably what angered a lot of people, that they took the name Colts with them. Had they just taken the team, fine. You know, that happens in sports. Look, the Dodgers used to be in Brooklyn. They're now in L.A. The Giants used to be in New York. They're now in San Francisco. The Boston Braves went to Milwaukee, and then they went to Atlanta. The Montreal Expos became the Washington Nationals. I mean, these things happen in sports. A lot of it is just economics. But the fact that they took the name Colts, I think that's probably what angered a lot of people in Baltimore and Maryland. And when Maryland got another team, or Baltimore got another team in the late 90s, they were the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Ravens, of course, is a very local name because of the famous Edgar Allan Poe, the book that he wrote, The Raven. And that, of course, is Edgar Allan Poe was born in Baltimore, so that's why the name was fitting. But I think a lot of fans in Baltimore, they had kept the Colts, the name Colts, and Indianapolis could have moved or gotten some of the name. I think that would have been probably the compromise for a lot of fans in Baltimore. But it didn't happen that way. And on this day back in 1984, the Baltimore Colts ended a very long and historic run in Baltimore and became the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Indianapolis Colts, of course, went on to win, I think, one Super Bowl under Peyton Manning. So they had their own distinguished record as well. The Ravens won a couple of Super Bowls. You know, 40 years ago, 39 years ago, everybody in Baltimore was talking about the Colts moving out. And that was a really controversial thing. Thank you for listening. Again, check out our chat with Bill Katz later on today, and check out our podcast with George Rodriguez on Sunday night as well. Enjoy yourself, everybody, and our prayers go out to the community in Nashville and the parents and everybody in that horrific thing in Nashville, Tennessee, the school shooting, absolutely heartbreaking. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.